Welcome to another podcast from Fix My Project Chaos. My name is Elise Stevens, and today I'm talking to the fabulous Laura Barnard from Impact by Laura about, is it really possible to change PMOs in 90 days? Hello, Laura.
Hi there. How are you? It's so great to see you again and talk to you.
It is. It's fabulous to talk to you, to Laura. We haven't interviewed each other, or I haven't interviewed you in such a long time. So it's always fabulous to talk to you.
Absolutely. I love seeing your smiling face and getting a chance to chat with you. It's always a pleasure.
So Laura, embedding real change often takes a lot of time. And from what I've seen in my travels around organizations is that PMOs are perhaps don't like change. So how is it that we can embed real change in 90 days in PMOs?
You know, that's a wonderful topic for us to talk about, because I think we are in constant conflict with the need to drive change and drive change quickly, and also realizing to make something sustainable and truly drive impact, it takes a while. So I have this program that I run for PMO leaders called the Impact Engine 90-Day PMO. And I have proven that you can build and run a PMO and get started in as quick as 90 days. But there's a lot of keys and secrets to doing that and doing that effectively. So this is the same program that I've used when I was in the shoes of many PMO leaders inside organizations, as well as what I use now with my clients and through my training programs. Secret is that you've got to be very focused and start small. One of the challenges that a lot of PMO leaders face is that they feel like they have to say yes to everything and do everything all at once. And that's why so many PMO leaders are often faced with being shut down before they've really had a chance to show any value. We have no patience anymore. Business leaders want instant feedback, instant results, and instant impact. And to me, that signals that we have to do this PMO thing differently. We can't take 2 years of building process and templates and tools and all of these things that we think our business needs. And instead, we need to focus on what they are asking for, which is for us to get them greater return on investment and drive project throughput and get outstanding results. But that doesn't have to happen after you've built all the templates and the tools and the process and all that other stuff. If you really ask your business leaders what they want, it has nothing to do with any of that stuff that we spend so much time on. So in the program that I've built, we do all of the things that you would imagine a PMO would do with the tools and the process and all of that, but only after we have assessed the organization to understand where the real opportunities are to drive impact quickly and start there. And I assure you, your business leaders are not going to come to you when you start solving business problems for them and say, no, hold on, come back when you have 5 more templates for me to fill out. This is not going to happen. So what we have to do instead is say, okay, what they're really stuck on is they don't have transparency, or projects aren't happening in a reliable fashion, or they're just not getting the return on investment for projects. Find those outcomes they're really looking for. Show them how some changes that you can make, some shifts that you can make, can help them realize the changes that they need quickly, and then go do that and do that really, really well without shoving any templates or process or a bunch of PM speak at them. Just go fix something. Build your credibility by fixing something, solving a business problem. And then from there, you have earned their respect and their credibility to continue to add some of the things you know they need, some of the medicine you know they need to take, but only after they trust you and believe you and you've proven that you can address their problems.
I think that that's a great idea, because I've seen a lot of PMOs seem to continue to slide into the quagmire of governance that mm-hmm. adds no value. And perhaps if we add another document to that process, it'll solve all our problems.
Usually, adding more documents and more process and more steps is not the right answer. Now, please understand, we still cover templates and tools and process in the program, but the key is about iterating. So we take a very small A, agile approach to getting through these cycles with the impact we're driving. And so what we do is we assess the organization. We do that quickly. If you're listening, if you're asking the right questions, they will tell you what's wrong. They will tell you why you're there and what problems they need you to solve. And then we develop everything from our PMO direction to the services, governance framework, talent requirements, methodology, templates, tools, and extremely important, PMO impact metrics. But we do it all in phases. So we will pick one or two things that we're going to do from each of those areas and then just do that and use what I call the 30-90 cycles, which is to measure every 30 days and look on a 90-day perspective, did we achieve the impact we were expecting to achieve with these key services that we implemented, leveraging a couple of templates and a few different tools and whatever, just very small, bare bones, because we're focused so directly on getting to that impact with that initial key service or that initial pain point that we've solved. Once we do that, then after about 90 days, we can say, okay, now what's next? Now that we've solved one problem, what can we do next? What's the next business problem we need to address? And then you can start adding more change. But it gives you an opportunity to get really, really focused on one thing, do that well, and then move on to adding more capabilities over time. So in a year, you could possibly have as many as 4 different services that you're adding, or sets of services, or additional capabilities that you're adding over time. And so what's happening is you're solving problems quickly, and then you move on to the next set of problems and you start solving those. And over a year, that's actually a huge amount of transformation work that you've been able to do and a huge amount of capability you've been able to develop. And you're able to show in real data and with real results that you've made a difference for the organization.
I think that that's really important, because I've heard a lot of stories, especially in the world of Agile, where people are just shutting down PMOs and saying, no, we don't need PMOs in the Agile world.
Well, now that's a whole additional topic that I've spent a lot of time trying to educate people on, because there is a big difference between project management and implementation methodology. And the thing is that PMOs, if they are, like I say, little a, agile and flexible and nimble, they can be wherever the business problem is that needs to be solved, instead of trying to be everything to everyone or be so laser focused on methodology. I don't think that the PMO necessarily needs to get involved in implementation methodology at all, because the difference is project management is all about the shoulds, and implementation methodology is all about the hows. Because if you think about it, regardless of which body of knowledge you are familiar with, the shoulds are things like, you got to manage risk, you got to manage a schedule, you got to manage scope, you got to manage your resources. There's all these things that you do that are the shoulds of project management that don't necessarily impact or influence the implementation methodology. So in Agile or in Scrum, you absolutely manage to a schedule. There are very strict sprint cycles of 2 to 4 weeks. You're managing time, and you are certainly managing scope. All of that backlog that goes into that sprint is a very tightly determined scope. And there's resources, people that are involved. All of the aspects of the gotta haves, the shoulds, still apply regardless of which implementation methodology you choose. What we as PMO leaders need to do is separate waterfall from project management and waterfall from the PMO concept, because people mistakenly believe that a PMO equals waterfall, and they're not even close to being the same thing. A PMO there is there to help drive return on investment and impact throughput for projects and programs and portfolios. They're there to solve business problems. You use implementation methodology to implement projects. But there are tons of ways that a PMO can not just survive, because I'm so sick of hearing about PMOs surviving. It's about PMOs thriving and driving impact. And PMOs can absolutely drive impact if they pay attention to where the need is. So if you are working in an organization that does exclusively or even partially all agile or scrum implementation methodology, what about supporting things from a portfolio perspective? Where in agile is it hugely focused on the portfolio? It's not. It's focused on the project implementation. So what about a role for the PMO in driving governance and portfolio management and helping to drive business decisions that need to get made across the portfolio of projects? What about education and training and development and capability development and staffing and resourcing? There's so many things a PMO can do that have absolutely nothing to do with implementation methodology. So we need to stop confusing the PMO with a waterfall project management implementation methodology, because that's not the same thing at all. And I think the key to PMOs doing more than just surviving and hanging on by threads is taking a step back and, again, looking at what business problems need to get solved and solving those business problems. And I do think that means stepping away from we're a tools and templates and methodology organization, because there's so much more that a PMO can and should be doing that put them in such a powerful business-focused role for the organization. You want to help solve business problems and help business leaders make business decisions. And to do that, you don't even have to talk about implementation methodology at all. So that's where I think they can not only live harmoniously, you know, agile environment for implementation and PMOs, I think that they should be living harmoniously and supporting each other and interacting and together creating as much impact as possible for the organization. Let's stop fighting so much about who's right and who's wrong, because neither of us are right or wrong. It's about finding ways to work together to solve business problems, create impact, and address the needs. And if we can just take a step back and look at how there are different ways that those that are doing implementation with Agile and those that are looking to solve business problems through the PMO can work together, we'd be a lot better off.
I've yet to be dazzled by a PMO that is doing anything other than the checking stuff. And it annoys me.
Yes.
I just feel that it's so much wasted energy. And all it does is annoy people. And what the organizations do, other people in the organization, is they try to circumvent it. They start doing all this stuff that cuts the PMO out. And yet, PMO, hey, PMO, you could be so much better and have so much more influence and have the seat at the table, the infamous table, but yet you're stuck in some mold.
It's sad, but it's so true. And that's why I'm so passionate about sharing the value of driving impact in an organization and getting away from this constant survival mode and get in the driver's seat. The opportunities are there for us so easily accessible, because when we have the information, we hold the keys to driving decision making for an organization. And the challenge we have is that a lot of the materials out there and the books and the training courses, I know because I read a lot of it and took a lot of those courses back when I was in the shoes of a PMO leader inside organizations. Almost all of them said, start with building a PMO charter and then go ahead and put some methodology and process in place and then build some tools. And I tried that and I realized nobody cared. Nobody cared when I was putting a bunch of templates in place and tools, and nobody wanted to use any of it. And, you know, when we tried to create a central repository first for information, people would try and find a way around it because it wasn't helping them. It wasn't helping them get to the end results that they were looking for. What I realized was, hold on, there are a few things here. By creating a PMO charter, we have set the stage that we are doing a project that is going to end. Because a charter is for projects, And it's all about a start and an end point, as opposed to a business plan, which is created for business units that intend to hang around for a while. So just changing our perspective from a temporary entity that may or may not get to the outcomes to a business unit with business-focused goals, business-focused metrics and objectives, and business outcomes we need to create shifts the mindset of the PMO leader and those interacting with the PMO that this isn't some temporary try it and it might work. This is a business unit, a sustainable business unit who has a role in driving impact for the organization. So that's one of the first things that I have people do in my program is forget the idea of a charter. We're going to focus on being a business unit and solving business problems. And then we don't start with a bunch of stuff we think they need because you know what? We are probably wrong. We actually go do something wild and crazy, like ask the business leaders what they need. What is the business problem they're trying to solve? What's the challenge they're having? Why did they think a PMO might be a good idea? And we answer the most important why question as opposed to focusing so much on the what. And if you haven't ever seen the Simon Sinek start with why, I highly suggest you check it out. It's one of the materials that I provide a link to, the YouTube video, where he talks about starting with why in all of your conversations as opposed to what. Many businesses talk about what they do, but the successful ones talk about why they do it. So the same thing applies to PMOs. If we're talking about process and tools and templates and all this stuff that nobody cares about, of course you're not going to get their attention or get their engagement. But if you talk about your purpose and the why of the business problem you're solving, you will not only have their attention, but you will get their engagement and you will get them coming to you begging for you to address their why and their reason for engaging. So we need to start with shifting our mindset to what I call the impact mindset, which is all about solving business problems and realizing that your goal is not to create a bunch of checklists, create a bunch of steps in a process, or shove tools and templates at people. It's about addressing their why and getting to as high of an impact for the organization as possible. We've got to get away from thinking that projects are successful if the triple constraints are met, because that's absolutely not the case. You can have projects that are always on time, on scope, and even under budget, and nobody uses the outcome or the deliverable or the service or the product you've created, nobody cares. So we've got to start thinking about business people that are making investments in these projects and looking at ourselves as a fiduciary to the organization that is accountable for ensuring that those investments yield a return that made them worth doing it in the first place. So all of those shifts to this impact mindset will help shift the way people are seeing interacting with the PMOs, because they're going to start seeing you as somebody that gets it, as a strategy navigator for the organization, somebody that can help ensure that the strategy not only gets realized, but with as high of a return on that initial investment as humanly possible. That's the goal. If you do that, your C-suite executives, they will be paying attention. You will be getting the funding, you will be getting the support, because you are directly tying what you're doing to the outcomes that they want to realize. And that's what it's all about. So stop with trying to shove PM speak at people and templates and tools and process. That stuff comes once you've built the credibility and you've shifted your mindset, so that anytime you create a single step in a process or any templates that you're asking people to fill out, you are asking one very important question. What is this doing to enable impact as quickly as possible? You should be creating a frictionless environment that is ensuring that every single project and every single bit of effort is going as smoothly as possible. We should be enablers of getting to that impact, and everything we do should help to facilitate that.
I want to work on your projects and your PMO.
Actually, you know, my clients have a lot of fun. They're like, oh, wow, this is how this is supposed to work. And people that go through my programs, I think by the time they've gotten through the first module, all of them say, okay, now I realize what I was doing wrong with my PMO. I'm starting over and I'm still getting to impact in 90 days. You don't have to throw it out, but put all that other stuff aside that you were spending all of that time and energy on and focus on answering the business question about where the pain is and how you can solve it. And when you do that, the credibility comes, the seat at the table comes because you get it. And that's what they've been waiting for, is for you as the PMO leader to get it, to understand that from their perspective, from the business leader's perspective, they're just talking about investments. That's what they're talking about. So if you can help them find ways to accelerate throughput of getting to that return on investment, they're all ears. If you can ensure through reliability and transparency and holding people accountable that you're actually getting to that return on investment faster and that their projects are going to deliver the expected outcomes, you will have 100% of their attention because that's what they're trying to do. And for many of them, they just don't know how to do it. And I believe PMO leaders have it in them. We just have to shift our mindset to be more of an impact focus and shift our way of thinking to be much more of an investment manager overseeing the portfolio of investments and an impact driver. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Laura, your top tip for PMOs wanting to make an impact in 90 days?
Start with why. Figure out what business problem you really need to solve, where that pain point is, and use that as your driving purpose and focus. Then get absolutely laser focused on that and then just go get it done. And the rest will follow.
My top tip would be concentrate on the why, but bring a bit of fun into it. Less about the process and the templates and more about that whole investment being really crystal clear about the best investment for the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's absolutely no reason you can't have fun along the way. I think that's great. That's what we're all doing, is spending so much time at work and driving so much change. And all of that can be scary and quite frankly exhausting. So if you can find a way to make it fun and engaging and build relationships, all the better.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Laura.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to share with your audience. And if people want to find out more about me, they can find me at impactbylaura.com.
Well, thank you for your time today, Laura. And that ends another podcast from Fix My Project Chaos.